and welcome to Talking Europe. Are teenagers too young to scroll? Is endless time on social media destroying children's mental health and creating addictions as harmful as, say, alcohol or cigarettes? Now, Australia said yes to all of the above when it became the world's first country to ban social media for under 16s back in December. Now you have France and Portugal and Greece and Spain and other European countries poised to possibly follow suit. And across Europe, governments say they are acting merely to protect children from the power of algorithms over their young minds. It's a power that studies suggest can lead to anxiety, depression, and yes, even suicide. European Parliament also calling for tougher action, including a minimum age for access to social platforms. I have two guests with me today who have different takes on this very complicated issue. Marc Angel is from Luxembourg. You're with the Socialist and Democrats group in the parliament here. You also sit on the intergroup on children's rights in the parliament. You voted recently, you back a ban on social media access for minors. Ana Vasconcelos, little different here, Portuguese MEP. You're with Renew Europe, and you believe that we should not have simplistic solutions to a complicated problem. We'll get more into that. But, Marc, I want to start with you here. Many of the people who back these studies and favor the ban, they say there's no real difference between banning social media and banning, say, minors from alcohol and tobacco. The same sort of thing. Are they really the same, though? Can you make that, can you equate the two?
In one way, we have this principle, what is legal offline has to be legal online, and what is illegal offline has to be illegal online. If you consider that, then yes, you could consider this is good. But the report we voted on here in the European Parliament, it's not only on the ban alone, it's about a whole measures how we can protect children online. So there is not one magical solution to it. We have to consider different approaches and, of course, also European approach.
And so, Ana Vasconcelos, this is essentially one of your concerns. There's no magical solution. And it might sound politically sexy to say, let's ban it all, but you're essentially saying it's more complicated than that. Tell us a little more.
I think it's a bad solution. I think there are many solutions to address this problem, many solutions that are not yet in place, so not well tested, before we take the step of using such a blunt instrument as a blanket ban. Easy solution to a very complex issue. There are two main risks associated to it. One is the risk to all of us, really, that our data, our identification, our biometric data is stored in data centers that are exposed to hacking attacks. And once the information is out there, it's out there. The second thing is, even if that worked, is it really, you made the comparison to cigarettes and alcohol. Well, social media is, whether we like it or not, a part of reality that youth will have to deal with, and it has a good side to it, unlike cigarettes, for instance. So the issue is, how do we gradually introduce children and teenagers, who, by the way, are already more digitally literate than their parents and older generations, and actually have deal with online content in a way that older generations can't. The real question is, how do we gradually introduce them to a part of reality that they will inevitably have to live with?
Well, I want to put this question starting to you, Ana, and then you could pick up, Marc. But the gradually part, you know, some studies have actually spoken to teenagers. They speak to the children themselves, and they say that they would actually be ready and almost welcome a ban if their peers did so as well. That is, if their friends are offline, they have no problem being offline as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe if we make a survey asking children if, they like to go to school and they would rather not go to school, maybe results would be similar. That didn't mean that, they should stop going to school, even though school can also be an environment that sometimes brings mental health issues as well. And by the way, this is very important because there is a mental health concern I wouldn't call it crisis, but concern, growing among our younger generations. And it's caused by multiple factors, including how overly supervised childhood is. And I will, by the way, make one point. This movement, I would say, is very much inspired in a book called The Anxious Generation, who details all the problems that online life are causing to our youth. And yet, he does not advocate a blanket ban. So there are other solutions, for instance, privacy by design. So our devices by default having privacy settings that we can then switch off and being mandatory for children. Or, for instance, phone-free spaces in school. These would largely help. Yes. And these were in the report that we voted in Parliament.
I fully agree with you. Yeah. The age verification or ban is alone doesn't help. But for the moment, all these other solutions, we have no control over it. Most social media are in control of American, big tech. And you know, big tech, the slogan is all about money, no responsibility. And here we need to take some responsibility. We cannot leave this all to the parents or to educators. And we've seen in a lot of reports now which say this doesn't only have an impact on mental health, it also encourages young people to self-harm, even to suicide, if they talk to chatbots. You know, when I was a kid, my mother told me and my father told me, don't let a stranger get into the house, don't talk to strangers. Now the strangers are in the bedrooms of kids in the evening, and sometimes these strangers aren't even real people, they are chatbots. And I've spoken to mothers where the children committed suicide because they were encouraged to it. So for the moment, I think there is an urgent responsibility to protect. And then we have to work on the others. We have to get European social media. We have to have safety by design. I fully agree. Age-adapted design, I fully agree. But for the moment, we are not there yet. And therefore,
I think... a solution, right? So you're not really solving the issue. And by the way, these bans are very easy to circumvent. And you said we don't have any control. We do have control over our schools. Parents do have control over what their children do and whether or not they have access to devices. So perhaps giving more guidelines to parents, who, by the way, may feel like since there's a ban, their children are safe, when they need to be better informed about how their children might easily circumvent those bans.
And Mark, literacy, I agree with you. Literacy is very important,
yes,
not only for children and teenagers, also for adults on this. But the way these platforms design, I mean, it's all about monetization. They make money. Every minute the children and also us adults are, it's the attention economy.
It is.
Once you ban, what is the incentive for platforms to actually tackle this issue and comply with the obligations that we are trying to set? Because once you do that, where is the incentive for them to reduce the features that cause dependence?
The incentive for them is also a responsibility of the European Commission. We have the Digital Services Act, which is a European legislation which has means to control the content, that they need more content mediation. They don't care about
Let me just jump in here. The European Commission itself is a little bit at odds with the European Parliament that actually is pushing for a ban. The Commission wants to see more emphasis on things like, say, public service media, media literacy training for young children. Do you think that those could be effective measures that would perhaps eliminate the need for a blanket ban?
These are measures which are necessary, but it's for the moment, I think we are in such an urgency situation. The reports I read where you see that a lot of children are more than 3 hours online on social media only, often 5 hours, and this excludes the time they're on a tablet for schools or when they watch streaming movies, etc. And there is studies how this affects their mental health. And then also the grooming, the adults who pretend that they are young people. There is some dangers and risks, and I think for the moment, I don't see how we can mitigate them.
And Ana Vasconcelos, your country right now, Portugal, and I know that you probably don't agree with this policy, they're pushing actually for a ban. They're considering it. Hasn't happened yet. What would you say, what is the argument there? It seems that at least the government there is in favor of this. They're looking at what France is doing. They're looking at Greece. They're looking at Australia, even New Zealand, and they're saying we need to do this too.
Yeah. Very quickly, again, nobody's disputing that there are problems and issues and dangers online. It's really about the effective way of tackling this. And effective means we're really protecting children and not putting them at more risk. And by the way, all of us at more risk with our data exposed. Well, yes, Portugal is following suit. I find that very concerning. We hope to have a honest debate at the national level because it's very easy. And I think we, in general, the EU has followed a risk-averse, overly protective, overly controlling strategy to tackle the new challenges of our age. I think that there's a general tendency to catastrophize the issues that we're facing, and that usually annuls a reasonable debate, a balanced debate, and calls for always very blunt solutions that are very appealing. It looks like the lawmaker is really doing something bold, but is not really revealing care for the effectiveness. And I have to say one more thing. This, there's often the argument that the ban is science-based. It is not science-based.
There have been a lot of studies.
The issue, the problem is science-based, and there's actually, the ban is actually highly contested in the scientific community and in the technological community, who is warning, by the way, privacy NGOs, organizations, calling for caution, and also because of, you know, the positive sides.
I want to give you the last word there, Mark.
Can we leave our children at the mercy of algorithms that operate in the dark, who are just responsible to their masters in Silicon Valley and in China? I don't want them that they are at the mercy of these dark algorithms. And no transparency,
Mark,
no
responsibility. I'm going to have to leave it on that last word there. You brought in an interesting idea, which is a topic for another debate. Some contend this is less about protecting children and minors than standing up to the American and Chinese tech giants. That's an issue for another day.
But, look forward to it, yeah.
I would like to thank you both. This is obviously a watch this space issue. It's not going away. Many European countries now getting on board with the idea of a ban. Not happening yet, but the idea of a ban. I'm sure we'll be back to talk about this several times in the coming months.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here today on the Talking Europe debate / discussion. And thank you all for watching.
Thank you.